Well, most of you probably have seen the movie Jurassic Park. Scientists created the modern-day dinosaurs using old DNA and gene splicing. That was fiction, though.
But it might soon be a documentary, because reality is catching up. Scientists now using ancient DNA to try to recreate a new dodo bird, which has been extinct since the 1600s. And if it works, we will have the dodo bird 2.0 with the better camera, a slightly different version. Ben Lamb is CEO, the co-founder of Colossal Biosciences, which is running this project. And Beth Shapiro, professor of ecology and evolutionary biology at UC Santa Cruz. She's the lead paleogeneticist at Colossal. Thank you both for joining us today. So the first question I want to ask is, as you guys are working on this, did we learn nothing from Jurassic Park? Are we going to have a building-sized dodo bird knocking cars off the roads?
No, I mean, Jurassic Park, like a lot of science fiction movies, are fake. You cannot bring back dinosaurs, you know, but what you can do is you can use a lot of these incredible genetic engineering technologies to bring back extinct genes and build proxy species to bring back biodiversity that was removed from the planet at the hand of man. And that's something that we're really, really passionate about, is doing that as well as developing those tools and technologies for conservation.
Beth, what can we expect and how difficult is this?
Oh, it's pretty hard. I mean, these are technologies that are currently under development for if we think about bringing back extinct species, most people think about mammoths, right? And I think about cloning, like the process that brought us Dolly the sheep. What is true, though, is that we can't use this same process for birds. And what's really exciting to me about that, about this investment from Colossal, is that these technologies that allow us to tweak the DNA sequences of living species are now going to be developed for birds. This means not only can we get something dodo-like back, but we can also use these tools to try to protect species that are still alive but in danger of becoming extinct, like the dodo, from doing so.
So is that the reason for doing this, is to help stave off the extinction of other species? Like when they start, the numbers start dwindling, you can save some of them by re-engineering them?
It's one of the reasons. I think there's definitely motivation for that, but also recreating species that are extinct and being able to reinsert them into the habitats where they no longer live. This also, I think, can have a benefit to the habitats that are around today. So on Mauritius, for example, it may be that if we can re-engineer something similar to a dodo, remember, it's not going to be 100% like a dodo, we can add this back to the ecosystem, and that this will help restabilize an ecosystem that is perhaps still struggling to survive because so many species went extinct, like the dodo, when people first arrived on Mauritius. And this is something that we can extend to other systems, to birds that are struggling to adapt because the pace of change in their climates is faster than evolution can keep up. We can use these tools of genetic engineering to help them evolve more quickly, to help them keep up and give them a chance to survive.
And the advancement of these tools and technologies, you know, one, you know, can be added to conservation's toolkit for lots of different species and critically endangered species, as well as some of these tools and technologies also apply to humans, right? So we're starting to see how the power of synthetic biology and tools like CRISPR and others can be used to cure different types of disease states. So a lot of the tools and technologies that we are advancing specifically in our mammalian work with both the woolly mammoth and the Tasmanian tiger that we're also working to de-extinct are advancing tools and technologies that we can even apply to human healthcare.
Ben, what kind of a timeline are we looking at for this project, or is there one?
Yeah, I mean, so with any big technology project, regardless of whether it's a, you know, lunar landing or de-extinction, you know, there, you know, to Beth's point, it's really hard. Now, we've got 85 scientists plus 30 additional postdocs plus a world-renowned scientific advisory board and people like Beth Shapiro and George Church behind us. So I feel like our odds are about as good as you can make them. We have set a timeline for our first mammoth calves to be hopefully born in 2028. Given that that's a 22-month gestation versus 30 days in the dodo, I think that it's highly likely that we could, you know, see a proxy for the dodo before we see that of a mammoth. I think that's very highly likely that we could make that assumption. But I will say that, you know, to Beth's point, applying some of the multiplex editing genome technologies that we've developed at Colossal Forum and Million Work into avian is relatively new territory. And also cultivating the primordial germ cells, which is part of the process that we are taking in our avian genomics group, is also, you know, not quite as advanced as some of the other tools that we see in mammalian work. So just zooming in how fast those engineering efforts come to fruition, I think will really drive the timeline. But I do think it's highly likely we could see one before mammoth.
All right, very quickly, we're talking about Dodo Bird 2.0 here. At some point down the road, let's get weird. We can re-engineer human beings to, like, okay, we've got climate change, there's less water in the world. Could you re-engineer human beings to require less water?
So they are making...
See, I'm talking science fiction here, guys.
It's a great question. We at Colossal are not focused on applying these tools and technology to humans. Anytime we develop tools or technologies that we have that we think could have a great application to human healthcare, like we did last year, we spun out a computational biology platform. So we'll do that. I will say that there is work that's being done worldwide at a couple different labs on how do we make more drought resistant livestock like cattle and whatnot. There's a huge, you know, one of the things that in cattle and livestock that some of them, a lot of them actually have to be dehorned because they hurt themselves in the process or hurt others. So they're actually doing genetic modifications for horn removal. Mm. So some of these synthetic biology applications are starting to happen. You know, there's even companies that are looking at genetic modifications and leveraging some of these synthetic biology tools to make it where plants can actually capture more carbon. Mm. And so I do think that the kind of toolkit of these various synthetic biology tools will give us, you know, more power over kind of our surrounding environments, and we just need to be good stewards of it. I don't see humankind engineering us to be more drought tolerant anytime soon.
We can fly. We can fly now.
Yeah. I think that the world could be pretty weird with synthetic biology, and so we just need to be thoughtful and balance the trade-off with top bioethicists as well.
All right. Thank you so much, guys. Ben Lamb, CEO and co-founder of Colossal Biosciences, running this project. Also, Beth Shapiro, a professor of ecology and evolutionary biology at UC Santa Cruz.